Well, desire your prayers this morning. Definitely want to remind us again, why would we not want to share the gospel? It does so much for us. And that's one of the benefits of living for the Lord is He helps us with our everyday needs. And He helps us with ourselves, which in turn ends up being our greatest enemies most of the time. And that's one of the little subjects I want to talk about this morning. I'm going to write a word on the board here. I have written on the board the word denial. And that's, I guess you would say, not a pretty word. A lot of negative thoughts and emotions, no doubt, are attached to that word when we say the word or when it's said to us. And I mean, how many times have you had someone say to you, oh, you're just denying that, you know? And like, well, sometimes that's true, sometimes it's not. But the fact of the matter is, denial is something that all us as humans, that's something we deal with. And in some cases, maybe it is a good thing. But in a lot of ways, and what we're going to discuss this morning with the Lord's help, is how denial can be damaging. It can ultimately lead you to a path of destruction. And so I've broken it down into just, I guess you would say, three little definitions and three segments we'll talk about. There's much more to denial than this. But there's three sections we'll deal with. The first one would be, and it's basically a definition of denial, refusing responsibility, denial. Another one would be refusing connection or acquaintance. And another one would be refusing access. And here's the thing. There's a reason why we as humans deny certain things or certain people or certain situations. There's a reason for all those things, and maybe towards the end we'll deal with some of those reasons, but let's dig into some of the details of, we'll deal with the first one, refusing responsibility. And perhaps this one in some ways is kind of comical, but our American society has gotten pretty soft, pretty lazy, pretty irresponsible, because do you realize that there are actual court cases out there that where a thief, a criminal, okay, while he's in the middle of a crime on someone's property, he injures himself on their property, and yet he can turn around and sue the owner because he was injured in the middle of a crime, committing a crime. He was injured on their property, and he can sue them only in America. That's pretty pathetic. And many other examples we could go on and on and on of things like that where people don't want to take personal responsibility, personal accountability for their actions, and so they deny, oh no, I wasn't really doing anything wrong. It was whatever. There was this hole in the yard there that the owner didn't put a flag there to let me know that, you know, there was a hole there, and I twisted my ankle and I broke my leg or whatever. And so they're denying, no, it's not my responsibility. You know, it's the owner should have done that. But you see the mindset that this society can breed upon on us as Americans, that this can kind of carry on over into the spiritual realm. When it starts dealing with our souls, that we want to point fingers at something else or someone else. When a lot of times, as I mentioned earlier, the real enemy is ourselves. We want to deny that, well, that's really not my problem, or I'm really okay, it's really they have a problem, or whatever the case is, that it's so easy not to take responsibility for failures, errors, misjudgments, all those things. And I want to tell a little story. I've mentioned this before, but it's one I've never forgotten. And it's something that, again, was at the time not very comical, but when we were first married, we had bought a little trailer house, pulled it on a piece of property, and we were afternoon, we were in a hurry to leave and go somewhere, and right before I walked out the door, I heard this little hissing noise, psst, you know, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from, and I'm Like, is there a gas leak somewhere? No gas. Didn't smell anything. And finally we determined there was a water leak. And just a little leak, you know, it didn't seem like a big thing. And I was pretty sure it was underneath the trailer. But to my regret, I'm like, well, I can deal with that later. Is this urgent? We need to get on the road and we need to tend to whatever we're doing. And I'll deal with it later. It's probably not that big a deal and, you know, nothing to worry about. And returned back later and climbed underneath there and realized it was a serious water leak by then. And not only had it just gotten a few things wet, it had actually, with those type of floors and those trailers, I mean, the flooring didn't take long, it starts coming apart. So just one little thing, it's not that big a deal. And is it really, because in my mind, I never crawled underneath there to look before I left. I'm thinking, it's really not that big a deal. I'll deal with it later, you know. But I should have looked. And then I might have realized, okay, let's fix this now. But I denied that it was a real problem, and I just left. And so when I came back, it was a more serious problem. I should have dealt with it then. Well, there's a scripture in Proverbs, the 24th chapter. Proverbs 24, verse 30 and 31. It says, I went by the field of the slothful, and by the vineyard of the man void of understanding. And lo, it was all grown over with thorns, and nettles had covered the face thereof, and the stone wall thereof was broken down. What do you think about that? Yeah, in a literal sense, we've seen that before. I know I have. In fact, it's interesting to drive through different neighborhoods, and it's really amusing because it's like everyone in certain neighborhoods think the same. I've been to some communities where you drive down the streets and every yard is immaculate. Everything, there's flowers out, the yard's immaculate, no trash, everything's trimmed and beautiful. And then a few blocks over on the other side of town you drive through and it's like the yard's never seen a mower and they don't know what a weed eater is and they've never heard of flowers and all those things. But everyone's the same, you know, but you think about this. Yes, we're humans. And the tendency is, we kind of live up to the standard of the person next to us. And there's scriptures talking about comparing yourselves one to another. But the reality is, and this scripture's talking about walking by and their field, their vineyard, was all covered in thorns and the stone wall broken down. You know, more importantly, it's people's lives. Their individual, their spiritual lives. That have you ever walked by someone's life, so to speak? You understand what I'm saying here? You come into contact with someone, and all you see are thorns and briars and weeds, and their heart is overgrown with all those unattractive, those hurtful things, and that's all you see. And the stone walls are broken down. There's no protection there, and there's the enemy's just having free course of coming in and out and destroying, and you walk by their life and you're saying, oh my, this is a sad picture. It doesn't have to be that way. But it says here, I went by the field of the slothful. You realize that there's some folks that they deny that, well, we'll just pick on mowing the yard. They deny that the yard really needs mowed because, well, my neighbor, he hasn't mowed his yard for 3 months. And my other neighbor over here, he hasn't mowed it, so I'm okay. You know, I'll let mine go 4 months. You see what I'm saying? And you're denying that there's a real issue, but you're comparing yourselves among those around you. When the real issue is, you realize there's benefits to mowing your yard. You keep out some little critters that can cause problems around your house. Or you're walking out in the yard, you don't know what you're going to step on because it's all grown up. You can fall in a hole or you can step on a snake or those type of things. And you realize there's real benefits to that. But walking by, if you could say, as the scripture says, the field or the vineyard of the slothful man, that, well, he's denying that it's really not necessary. And it's really not as bad as you think it is. And I'm comfortable in living in this situation. I've lived like this for years. My dad was this way. My grandpa was this way. Denying that there's really any issues. when all the while other people walking by, so to speak, your life, they're going, they got some issues and there's some needs. And the fact of the matter is, and we know that the first step in problem solving, remember this in school, is, and what is the problem? Analyze what is the problem and admit there is a problem here. And this is an issue we have to address. And you know, that's the first step in someone that is fighting with denial, that's living in denial, is just admit there's a problem. We can deal with how to fix that later, but the first step, admit there's an issue. Admit that, yes, I have been comparing myself among those around me, and well, they're not doing this, and they're not doing so, I'm not going to do it. It's no big deal. We're all one big happy family. But in reality, the Lord's saying, is that all? Is that really, what do the Scriptures say? The Scriptures say to move forward, to press onward, to press toward that mark. To be a good soldier, you're going to have to fight your way through life and not be slothful and indifferent and just kind of, well, I'll just kind of glide along here. And then when something does happen, I'm going to blame the other party. Irresponsible, refusing responsibility. Well, I want to tell you something. If you refuse and you deny that there's an issue, then more than likely, you'll never receive the help that you need. And that's so elementary. But I'm going to tell you something. It's reality. How many times have you, as I mentioned earlier, you walk by someone's life, and perhaps it's your own life, or who's ever, you walk by and like, wow, that doesn't look so good. And you're thinking, you know, there's a potential there. I could see this place fixed up. I could see that yard cut. I could see some flowers planted over there. And I could see this house fixed here and the roof fixed over there. And all these things. It could be beautiful and attractive. But they're denying that it's not necessary. It's no big deal. But it is possible. There is hope. That's the encouraging thing with the gospel. There's always hope. Okay? Well, let's go on to the second one. Refusing connection or acquaintance. This one gets pretty close to home. We've all been there. Of course we have. We've been on both ends of it, no doubt. Everyone in this room has experienced someone that denies you. They don't want to see your face. Or they don't want to talk to you. Or whatever the case is. But I want to remind us again, our American society breeds this. It encourages these things. Just to be a little more specific, the divorce rates are skyrocketing. And we talked about this before. It's to the point where people won't even get married anymore because they're afraid of a divorce might happen, so we'll just live with each other and no big deal. Well, so there's issues between husbands and wives, denying each other, okay, in relationships. Parents and children, same situation. Other relatives, in the church world, in the business world, the political realm, everywhere you go, the American society is, we could say it this way, people are perfecting the art of the cold shoulder. Like, yeah, I'll deny you, you know, I'll just ignore you, and maybe my problem will go away. Deny that there's an issue, and just kind of, well, give it 20, 30, 40 years, and it'll be okay. Not so. Just like the field and the vineyard that was let go, denied there was any issues that it really needed taken care of, before long, guess what? The fruit was choked out. Before long, all it is... A garden of weeds. Nothing there. No fruit. No value. And it's ugly. Well, in acquaintances and connections that we all have, when you're rejected, when you're denied, that hurts. It really does. But it goes beyond that. When someone rejects you, the easy thing is, the natural tendency is, well, I'll reject them. You see what I'm saying? It's so easy to forget the simple laws and basic principles of the Scripture. That's not what Jesus taught. Jesus taught you love your enemies. So if you're rejecting someone because they rejected you, is that love? Oh, you can say, well, that's tough love. No, real love is going the extra mile. Real love is denying yourself. Real love is giving yourself. That's what Jesus did. He denied himself. He gave his life for the very ones, the Jews that rejected him, denied him to his face, spit in his face. You ever been spit in your face? Maybe not literally, but how about figuratively? Very disrespectful, very distasteful. But you realize that's what the Jews were doing to Jesus. And not just to Jesus, to God, all right? But the fact of the matter was, it hurt. It hurt Jesus. But yet, he went the extra mile. He forgave them. He extended love and mercy at multitude times. But here's what happens. We get denied in a relationship. We're turned down. We're refused. No connection there. So the natural tendency is, I'm going to do the same back to them. I'm going to return that favor, so to speak. But here's something to consider. There's a scripture in Matthew 10. Matthew 10 and 32. It says, whosoever, therefore, shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Do you realize what this is saying? That when someone rejects us, when someone denies us, okay, and then we in turn do the same back to them, you're basically, you're rejecting all the laws and principles of what Jesus came to establish. You're rejecting Christ. You're rejecting the love and the power and the forgiveness that Jesus has. You see, so in turn, you're denying me, Christ, before men. You're, and what's it say? Him will I also deny my Father, which is in heaven. So in other words, when we tend to, well, we'll just put it like it is. Sometimes it's easy to act like a child. You know, a child is, they're free to express their thoughts and their feelings, and they'll talk and say and do certain things, and just because that's what's on their mind. They're an open book. And then sometimes us as adults, it's easy to do the same thing. But Jesus is saying here, if you deny the power that I have available to you, I'm going to deny you before my Father. You realize that's cutting it pretty close. That's a scary thought to say, well, in this situation, I don't believe there's any other way but to reject them, to deny them, refuse what they really desire themselves. And at the same time, what we're doing is we're rejecting, denying Christ in our lives. And we're denying it before those that maybe have offended us or whatever the case is. And that's not healthy to our souls, is it? Because then Jesus, when he goes to the Father, the right hand of the throne of God, is like, well, I don't really see them striving and trying to implement the new law that I gave them, the New Testament law, not the old law of an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That's the old law. Those things are passed away. Jesus brought the new law, the New Testament, the new dispensation to love your enemies. Well, again, that's refusing or denying connection and acquaintances. Let's move on to the third. And this gets even perhaps more challenging, more serious. Refusing access. And this actually ties into the one we just covered. Refusing connection and acquaintance. You see, how many times have we driven around, whether it's in the countryside or through town or wherever it is, and we see these signs posted, private drive, or do not enter, or no trespassing. Basically what they're saying is they're denying you access. They don't want you on their property. It's posted right there. And I remember as a child growing up in our little neighborhood, down in fact, we're neighbors to them now, but They would have this little sign posted up on this road that said, private drive. And I remember it took me a while before I got my courage up to ride my bicycle down there. But it's one of those things that, well, I rode it, you know, one time, two times, three times. Nothing ever happened. So private drive, and, you know, I'm like, okay. I didn't really understand the implications of it till I got older and realized there's a reason they have that there. They don't want just any, it's a dead-end street down there. And they don't want, it ends up being someone's driveway. It's personal property. It's theirs. And I remember one time, too, it's been several years back. It was someone's high school graduation. And they were going to have it inside in the gymnasium. And you all have experienced this before, no doubt. You have to have tickets for your family to come see you graduate. And I remember this one particular graduation. This family had several, or this student that was graduating had several family members. A lot of them wanted to travel long distance, and everyone wanted to come. But they realized there was only 15 tickets available. And the long and short of it is, some of the family members come to the graduation, and a lot of them get up there to the door, and they were told that, well, you know, if you don't have a ticket, you can't get in. And like, well, surely we can get in. But the rule was you have to have a ticket to get in. And so some of those were not able to go inside to the graduation. But here's the thing. That was the school's property. That was their policy. They can establish the rules. This is their rule, okay? Because it's theirs, all right? And so they were denied access. They couldn't get in. Well, you know, it's the same with God. It's the same with His holy heaven. It's the same with that secret pavilion in the presence of the Lord that you have to enter in, just like the priest did back in the Old Testament days with the tabernacle and the temple. When they entered into that holiest of holies, there were requirements, there were rituals, there were certain, the way they had to take their baths and certain clothes they had to have on and all these things they had to do. It was God's rules, His laws, because it was His property. It was His presence you were dealing with, okay? But you had to follow those or else access was denied or you were struck dead. Now that seems pretty extreme, pretty severe. But you realize that same thing is applied today with the presence of the Lord and with ultimately making it to heaven. He has these requirements. He has these do not enter if so-and-so, if there's sin in your life or whatever. But there's a scripture I want to read here in Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Hebrews 4. In verse 16. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now I want to ask us this question. How many times have we needed the throne of grace? We all have. But here it is. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Now here's the key. Here's the ticket, so to speak. Just like in the Old Testament, the Passover, before they left Egypt, the blood had to be applied to the doorpost of their houses, or else the death angel would kill their firstborn. Okay? That was a type and shadow of what was to come with Jesus' blood. And so, in the New Testament dispensation, what we're living in today is when the blood is applied to our hearts and our lives, we can enter and we could boldly go to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find help in time of need. But when the blood is not applied, when that ticket's not made or presented, when the blood is not there, we're rejected at the gate. Say, no, you do not have access to this throne of grace. The blood must be applied to your hearts. I want to tell us something this morning. You realize there's a lot of people that try to short-circuit this plan that God has established. I want to emphasize again, God is a God of mercy and of love. He says, I will despise no one. And He's not willing that any should perish. But here's the condition. God has a holy heaven. No sin has ever entered there and never will enter there because He's a holy God. And He requires that same thing for anyone to enter in there. And so What happens is people want to short circuit that and say, well, I'm just a good old boy and I've tried to live the golden rule and I've tried not to, you know, do all these other things and I treat people nice and I do all these good works and I do all those things. And but the key is the blood applied and your hearts. And here's where, as I mentioned, some short circuit this. They want to cover up and deny some issues in their personal lives. Deny that there's really some weeds over here that need plucked up. Deny that there's really some, maybe some bitterness or unforgiveness over here in this corner. That others see it very openly and easily, but we don't see it because we're kind of hiding it, all right? Denying that there's really any issues there. And so when we continue to cover those things up and hide those things, guess what? The blood is not being applied. It's as if you could take the blood of Jesus and dip it and take a paintbrush, if you could say, dip it in the blood and start painting those things. Say, the blood of Jesus, I don't know what to do with this, but the blood of Jesus. And at the same time saying, Lord, I don't know what to do, but please help me. And there's a swipe of blood. Jesus say, I died for that. And you take another swipe and the blood of Jesus. And Jesus saying, yes, I died for that too. I can help you there. I can help. What did it say that he came, the scripture in Isaiah about the blood. Just slipped my mind. For healing. Someone help me out here. Yes, by his stripes we are healed. And it's not only the physical healing. It's the spiritual healing. It's the emotional healing. By the stripes, the blood of Jesus, that we can apply those things to those issues in our hearts and in our lives. Those things that we've denied that there's really an issue there. But we wonder why sometimes we're not growing like we should be. It's because it's being choked out by all these weeds, all these things around us. Like, well, that's not a problem. That's not a big deal. I'll just leave it there. Just kind of push it aside. You know, but with the Lord, you can't do that. With the Lord, He has His laws. He has a right to set the standards where He wants them. He has a right to require certain things of you individually. And He may not be requiring it of anyone else. You realize the Lord can do that? You realize that's the office of the Holy Spirit? That's what the day of Pentecost brought about? That the Holy Spirit can set on your shoulder, so to speak, and whisper, just like the scriptures say, He can whisper, don't turn to the right hand nor to the left, but this is the way, and walk in it. That the Holy Spirit can whisper, this is what I want you to do. This is where the blood needs applied in your life. This is where I want you to pluck out that weed. This is where I want you to open yourself and realize, let's stop denying there's some issues over here. Let's stop denying that there's some unforgiveness over here. Let's stop denying that, and the list goes on, and the list goes on. But it says here, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Well, so here's what it is. And you read up here a couple of scriptures above this. You see, it says, seeing then that we have a great high priest that has passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. You know what this is saying is, Jesus is sitting on the right hand of the throne of God. He's sitting by this throne of grace. And He's willing to give this grace. He's willing to give you access to this throne of grace. When the blood is applied, and when your heart is open and exposed, saying, search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Then Jesus is saying, aha, I see something. I see some blood is applied down there, Father. Therefore, give them some grace. They've been pleading for help for this for years. And they're desperate. And the Father's saying, well, is the blood applied? And this, yes, the blood's applied. Well, then by all means, give them some help. And Jesus extends grace and mercy and compassion, all those things to help in time of need. Well, then let's deal with the reason. So why do we as humans live in denial sometimes? Well, I mentioned earlier, A lot of times there's deep hurts, deep wounds, things that we don't want to talk about. And quite frankly, things we don't even want to think about. You realize that there's individuals and psychologists, and if you could say it, the different ones that in that profession, they figured out ways where maybe a child was abused or mistreated as a little infant, a little child. But for years, they go on in life and they deny that that ever happened, and eventually they'll forget it, or they think they forgot it. But in reality, they're living out this nightmare. They've never really forgot it. It's maybe back there, and it's not just in their forefront of their mind, but it's in their subconscious mind. So I was violated. Something happened years ago, and the devil has a hold on that. And for years, they deny, it's okay, I'm okay, I don't think about it every day, and denying that there was ever really an issue back there. But what the Father is looking for is, all you have to do is take that brush of blood and apply Jesus' blood to that. Say, Father, I don't really understand what happened back then. Heavenly Father, I don't know who exactly it was, or exactly what was said, or what was done, and I don't even know. All I know is it hurts. And it's hurting my life now because I can't get the victory over this situation and that situation. These things keep popping up here and popping up there. And the Lord's saying, just don't deny it. All you have to do is apply the blood to that. Say, Father, Heavenly Father, something did happen back there. And you know better than I know what it is, Heavenly Father. And put the blood there. Help me put some blood on that. Some of Jesus' blood. Because He died for that. He wants to redeem me. He wants to buy me back, so to speak, and bring me back from the clutches of the enemy. That you, if you could envision in your mind right now a nice, flat piece of paper that's useful. That's what our lives started out with. But the devil, all he wants to do is come along and kind of put a little crinkle there. Like, oh, that hurts. And then, well, you kind of go on a life, kind of straighten that out. But the devil come along, and he'll do that. Well, you know, oh, it's okay. No, it's all right. I flatten that out. It's okay. But there's still some scars. There's some wrinkles. There's some things that something may trigger those memories. Oh, something did. Oh, and then, but the devil keeps coming along. Oh, he wants to. And before long, this is what he wants to do. He wants to do that with your life. And here's the thing, we're denied. Oh, there's no issues, but where'd you go? Your life is destroyed because you've denied over and over that I need to deal with that. I need to apply the blood of Jesus to that. I need to face myself and say, Lord, what's going on here? I thought I was making some headway, but I'm falling back. And the devil keeps taking advantage of me. And now I don't know what to do. I'm in despair. I'm hopeless. You know, we as humans can get in that position. We've allowed the devil to wrinkle up those edges over and over. And we kind of smooth them out. And we just keep, you know, and keep denying that. But you know what you could do with that paper? You could take that paper and you can get an iron. And you can iron out some of those wrinkles. You know, that's what Jesus can do with your life. He can take your life back. And He can apply the blood and spread it out there, paint over all those ugly things with the blood of Jesus, and straighten your life out. But the key is, you have to be willing to confess Jesus in your life and to others. And by confessing Jesus, that means I confess, I believe that Jesus can help me. And then when that blood is applied, then you have access to the throne of God, to the throne of grace, where you can start applying those things. Say, oh Lord, I need some more love here. I need some more patience here. The devil keeps wrinkling up my page, so to speak, over and, oh Lord, please help me. Don't deny that there's some issues. Be willing to face those things. Well, it goes on a little further. You heard the saying, truth hurts. You know, truth does hurt. Because a lot of times it's about ourselves. And when someone else or when the Lord exposes something in our life, we're like, ooh, that's ugly. And when the Lord starts pruning on that, it's like, ow, that hurts. When you start realizing there are some issues, some things I've been denying, brushing aside, that that's not a big deal. But I want to tell you something else. Yes, truth hurts in that respect. But there's another side of truth that let's not forget. You realize it says in John, the 8th chapter, Jesus speaking to the Jews, the truth shall set you free. That's the other side of the truth. The devil doesn't want to tell you. The devil wants to tell you, you're thrown away, you're no good. But the truth of the matter is, Jesus saying, no, I can make something of this. If you just quit denying it and give your heart back to me, and I want to start applying my blood to this, and before long, the truth is going to set you free. Well, how does that happen? How does the truth set you free? Well, that's confessing, all right? That's acknowledging what Jesus can do. And if you're acknowledging what Jesus can do, that means you're allowing Him to work in your life. That means you're allowing Him to apply the blood to those areas in your life. That means you're allowing yourself, if you can say this, access to the throne of God. Access to the throne of grace. That means that you're growing. That means that your life is looking more attractive now. It's not like that one where you walk by the field of the slothful and the vineyard, and it was all grown up, and it was ugly, unfruitful. You realize God has a life of fruit in mind for you and I. That we would have fruit on hand, that those walking by may need something, and they pluck off an apple here. They pluck off a peach over here. Because we have something, we have the Lord on hand. We have the blood applied. We have the graces of God applied to our hearts and lives. Well, there's another scripture. Revelations, the 3rd chapter. Revelations 3:20. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him and will sup with him, and he with me. What a beautiful picture. Have you ever desired, just think for a moment, someone you love, and you just want to sit down and have a visit with them? You just want to sit down and eat a little bite with them, whatever. You want to sit down and have a conversation, a heart to heart. And I'm talking about someone in the flesh. And that's good. That's healthy. We need that. But I'm taking this to another level. Because humans are limited. They don't know the true thoughts and intentions of your or my heart. You realize that? Because we're limited. We're just humans. But we're talking about someone that knows the thoughts and the intentions and is able to divide asunder the joints and marrow, to divide those little intricate places of our hearts, those areas we've been denying and not really knowing what we're doing, but it hurts, so I'm just covering it up and I want to forget it. But we have someone we can sit down with, Jesus, all right, our intercessor, and he's saying, I want to come and sup with you. I want to come down and dine with you. I want to come down and commune with you. He wants to talk about those hidden things in your heart. Those things you don't want to discuss. Those things you don't even want to think about. And Jesus is saying, no, I want to say, let's talk about those things. But he does it in such a loving and gentle way. He doesn't push you off, because you know what he's offering to you? He's offering you victory. He's offering you a chance to be an overcomer. And that's what this next verse is talking about. Revelations 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You realize there's a place of victory that we can all have in our individual lives. We can come, but the key is Jesus is knocking at your heart's door. He's saying, can I come in? Can I apply some blood to those areas that hurt? Those things you don't even want to talk about? Can I come in? And can I sit down? And can I talk with you? Or perhaps Jesus is saying, I just want to listen to you for a while. And you just pour your heart out to me. You realize Jesus is waiting He's listening. He's listening for your prayers, for your pleas, for your cries of help, your cries of desperation. That all the devil, he just made a mess of my life and it's back there. Jesus hears that little voice. That cry of desperation. The devil's destroyed my life. The devil's dashed my hopes and my dreams. Because I didn't know what to do. And I've denied there's really any issues. And denied that God can really help me. I want to tell you something. We serve someone. A mighty God. We've been hearing some testimonies, as I mentioned earlier. Not just Wednesday nights. We heard some this morning. Sunday morning. Testimonies, those confessing that Jesus is alive and well, performing miracles. Let me tell you something. He can do the same in your individual life. Whatever it is, Jesus knows. You may have even forgotten some of those things. Maybe unintentional. Maybe it doesn't matter, but Jesus hasn't forgotten. He knows how he can go back and he can fix those things. He can iron those things out, apply the blood. But it says here, I stand at the door and knock. You know, that's a gentle. Jesus isn't coming going, banging on the door, kicking the door, say, you better let me in. No, that's not Jesus. He just stands at the door. Can I come in today? No. Deny Jesus access. Okay. I can help you out. Can I come in this day? You know, he's a gentleman, just standing there, just knocking. Can I come in? Jesus desires us. How else can you say it? He's a good shepherd. He's the master. He's the potter. He's the one. He's the King of Kings. He's the creator. All these things. This is what Jesus is. And if he has all power in heaven and earth, guess what? That applies to our lives too. That he has all power to deliver us. Even if it takes 2 months, 2 days, 2 weeks, 2 years, it doesn't matter. All this is saying is, you can overcome. And if you overcome, guess what? One of these days, we'll be sitting up there, right with Jesus, up in heaven, because we overcame. Because we didn't sit in denial and say, there's no way out. God can't help me anymore. I'm beyond hope. And those things back there, they really didn't happen. It wasn't that bad. But yet your life is screaming out, I need help. And Jesus is knocking. There's hope. All you got to do is you open the door. And if you hear my voice, you open the door. Let me come in. Let me come in and listen to you for a while. Let me come in and start ironing out those little creases in your life. Let me come in and apply some of my blood to those things. And then guess what? You start having access to that throne of mercy. And your life starts coming back together. And these things are healed. These problems are solved. And these things are ironed out. I'm like, where'd that happen? It was the blood of Jesus being applied. It was those graces divine being poured out upon you. Because you opened your heart and said, yes, Jesus, come on in. Come on in and help me out. Iron these things out. You know, again, I want to remind us, this is a message of hope. This is not meant to be something to stir up bad thoughts. I want us to think good thoughts. I want us to think on good things. You remember Peter? I want to tell you something. He denied Christ. You remember even at the Last Supper? And Jesus wanting to wash his feet, and Peter saying, no, you don't wash my feet. You don't touch, no, huh? And Jesus said, well, if you don't let me wash your feet, you'll have no part with me. And Peter's like, oh, no, you just washed my head, everything. Just do it, you know. But then before the night was over, guess what? Peter denied him 3 more times. Now, let me tell you something that someone that's in despair, Peter was in despair thinking, Lord, first time was bad enough. Then the second time. And then a third time. I want to tell you something. Jesus didn't give up on him. We remember the end of Peter, do we not? He got up preaching full of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he didn't deny Jesus anymore. He confessed him with his life. How did he do that? He opened the door of his heart and let Jesus come in. And then he couldn't help but Jesus was working and moving through him. That's what confessing Jesus before men is Jesus is moving within you. Jesus is coming out. The things that you say, the things that you do, that's Jesus. That's him coming out. You're confessing him. You're not denying him. And so again, there's hope. Now you could be like Judas. He denied him all the way to the end, till he was ultimately destroyed. But Peter, he found hope. He realized as long as he kept denying, there's not hope. But when he opened his heart's door, there was hope. And God made something of him. I'm going to tell you something this morning. God can make something of you and I too. All we have to do, open your heart's door and let him come in. You pray for me and I'd be faithful.